This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning again and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell and I'm excited to be with our co-host, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He turns candidates into contenders. You can reach him at RippleConnects.com or by the telephone system at 763-438-1621. Good morning, Joe McKenzie, and welcome back.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you?
Unbelievable. Glad to be with you this weekend. And we've got a really exciting topic to share with our audience this morning.
Absolutely. We're going to reach those baby boomers, New Beginnings listeners who are looking to retire and kind of an approach of long-term health benefits, staying engaged with your professional network that you've built up the last 30, 40 years.
There are a lot of people who don't really think in that type of linear form that staying engaged with your network has a direct relationship to your health. How do you mean that?
Well, the data shows that when you are in a place in your life where you have structure, purpose, something to look forward to, engagement, communication, you will be healthier versus getting into a position where you're isolated. And often what we see when people do retire is that they kind of go cold turkey with everything that they've built up, Freddie, mm-hmm. and they lose their structure. They lose their connections. They lose their purpose. What we're trying to map out today is maybe there's some aspects of your professional network that you may want to keep into your retirement years and have the benefit of those long-term healthcare benefits of having that connection and so forth.
That's really interesting. Let's first talk about the structure. When you talk about structure, how do you mean it in terms of, are you talking about your day or certain people you talk with? What does structure mean?
Well, structure can be everything that you were doing, waking up in the morning, having to work on projects, work as a team, drive organizational results. Once you retire, a lot of that goes away, right? That daily structure is not there. If you completely retire, and along with it, there are obviously people work towards retirement, but there are some healthy aspects of having that purpose and that structure and those connections and knowing that your time, talents and experience remain valued versus having that big void caused by, I don't have anywhere to go today. That's what I mean by that.
What do you say to those folks who say, well, Joe McKenzie, Freddie Bell, I got out of the workforce because of all the structure, and I just don't want to have any structure. So are you saying that perhaps that's okay initially, but over time, are you saying that you do perhaps need more structure for a good mental health?
Well, I think you do. And what you can do is that structure. You call the shots now in regards to that structure. If it is where you're going to maybe curate some of the areas that you want to remain active in, what if you want to remain as a member of a professional association that you're a part of for 40 years? You're in engineering or in law or medicine or sales. If that's something you really enjoy, but you are retired, find a way to remain involved in that, those professional associations. Or your alumni groups. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to give back or being involved in some of the civic groups, the Rotary Clubs, Kiwanis Lions. Freddie, what I'm saying is you call the shots in your structure and add that to your retirement years, and you will retain some of those long-term health benefits of connection, purpose, using your time, talents, and expertise, but on your own time and your own schedule.
That sounds great. Everybody, we're talking about the benefits of engaging with your professional network into your retirement years. Joe McKenzie, our co-host, is talking with us this morning. And also, you talked about the multi-generational engagement. How does that work? What do you mean when you say multi-generational engagement in retirement?
We've talked about that for several months now, the importance of being connected to all generations. And what you get from that is you might carve out a mentoring opportunity for yourself, or you stay very current with what's going on in the world or the industry that you're coming out of or the profession that you're coming out of. That is a good way to stay positive and forward thinking, surrounding yourself with people of all ages. I learn from people that are 25 years younger than me, and I've learned from people that are 25 years older than me. That's a good thing. That's a positive thing. And if we're just going to not be surrounded by a lot of different generations that we had in the workforce, we may lose some of our, you know, remaining current or those connections or opportunities to mentor someone, to share your wisdom or share your gifts or share your experience. That multi-generational facet of what we've talked about on New Beginnings is critical for many people that are leaving the workforce. Do you agree with that, Freddie Bell?
I do, because there are a lot of different ways, and I can just hear people saying right now, do you mean that I have to go to a community center to engage with younger people, or how do you exact that? How do you make that happen, Joe McKenzie?
Well, path of least resistance. Look at maybe the companies that you were working at. Maybe you could be, you know, in a position to mentor some of the people that are coming behind you in similar positions. Or if you want to be a part of a community or civic group, you will be surrounded by people from all generations in the workforce. And really, that path of least resistance, it's there. You know, go back over that bridge that you built to find those, and you will see the benefits. I know that I work with a number of people that are in the nonprofit sector who I talk with and work with, you know, occasionally or more on a regular basis. Freddie, I'm so energized by being able to be of a resource to them. They take a lot of the cares of my day away because I know I'm giving back. I'm making a difference in their lives. I am confident that someone that is entering retirement years that could find a way to engage with someone in a younger generation will see those health long-term health benefits of keeping that going.
Everybody, Joe McKenzie is with us, and I'm just interested. It seems as if that if you are engaging and staying close to the workforce, that there seems to be the byproduct of a high sense of purpose when you can do something like that. I'm thinking about there was a time, Joe McKenzie, when I was looking at purchasing a radio station here in the Twin Cities, and I relied on some people from the Small Business Administration who were retired executives. Is that the type of intergenerational aspect that you're talking about? Perhaps you can provide that type of service for someone who is looking for something really specific?
Yes, you could be in a position where you get to share your time, talents, expertise with someone that's coming behind you or several years behind you. That's a perfect example, Freddie, that you might be at some point in a position to do the same for that next person that wants to be involved in broadcasting. And when we share our gifts, our time, our talents, our expertise, our failures, our wins, and we know that it can impact another individual's life, that high sense of purpose, you're looking forward, you're knowing you're helping that next generation to impact the world around us. Darn right. That's a great way to approach it, that you're giving back and making a difference all at the same time.
Very interesting. So what should we be doing? What should we be thinking about, even as early as this weekend, Joe McKenzie, as actionable steps that we can take to engage with our professional network into retirement and enjoy some of the benefits that we've just talked about?
Well, if you're in a position where you recently retired or considering retiring in the next couple of years, look at the areas of your life, of the professional network, that you really enjoy being a part of. And that can be that alumni association or the professional associations, civic groups. Maybe even look at the company that you're about to retire from. Maybe you could start thinking or planting a seed of maybe being a mentor or a consultant in regards to the capacity that you're leaving. Start mapping out. Start expressing what you want. And we've talked about that, Freddie. Express what you want. And you never know if you plant a seed with someone, they see that you're open to it. That would be the first thing I would do this weekend. Reflect upon where you'd like to be. Where do you envision yourself 2 to 3 years from now into retirement and what you're doing and giving back? And remember, at the end of the day, You set up your own structure. You're not on someone else's time. You set up your schedule and bring in the most rewarding, impactful, purposeful aspects of that network, and you will live healthier. You'll have a more optimistic, forward-thinking mindset if you didn't do that.
Makes a lot of sense. That's Joe McKenzie, the co-host of New Beginnings, and you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You are probably hearing a lot of information about COVID-19 vaccines right now. We wanted to answer some common questions about how COVID-19 vaccines have been made. How are COVID-19 vaccines made faster? Usually, testing a vaccine to make sure it is safe and works is done before large amounts of vaccines are made. Because of the pandemic and money from the federal government, scientists did both at the same time. Only vaccines that have been tested and are shown to be safe are used. How are COVID-19 vaccines tested? All COVID-19 vaccines go through tests called clinical trials. Each vaccine goes through more than one test. First, the vaccine is tested with a small group of volunteers, then a couple hundred, then tens of thousands of people. Volunteers for COVID-19 vaccine trials come from many diverse communities and backgrounds. This is the same process used for testing other vaccines. How do COVID-19 vaccines get approved? For the vaccines that make it past all the tests, a team of medical experts will look at the test results and how people felt after they got the vaccine. If the vaccine works and it's safe, it gets approved. There are many groups of scientists and experts that are reviewing the vaccine safety data for COVID-19 vaccines and making recommendations. Only approved vaccines are given to people. Who is getting vaccine first? A national advisory group for CDC looked at the data and made recommendations for who should get the vaccine first. Some groups that are at the highest risk for COVID-19 or could get very sick from COVID-19, got the vaccine first. Minnesota has a team of experts who will help make sure vaccine is available to everyone fairly, with a focus on health equity. As more vaccine becomes available over time, more people will be vaccinated. For more information about the COVID-19 vaccine, visit the Health Department's website.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Thank you for being with us this weekend on New Beginnings. Dr. Anthony Fauci recently spoke to media officials on a Zoom call facilitated by a pair of U.S. governors. Fauci talked about herd immunity and what it really means.
So herd immunity, the concept of herd immunity means that if you get, and it really depends, and I'll give you an example that I think will clarify it, Governor. A herd immunity really depends on the ability of the virus to transmit. The more transmissible it is, the greater proportion of the population you would need to be vaccinated to get herd immunity. And the higher the degree of efficacy of the vaccine, the better chance you have of achieving herd immunity. Herd immunity means that when you get a certain percentage of the population vaccinated or already infected and thus protected against reinfection, that the virus in the community will have very little wiggle room to infect anybody. And it comes down to the, you know, to the metaphor of when you have a herd of animals, just, you know, think of a herd of wildebeest, and you got baby wildebeest and old wildebeest that can't protect themselves against the lion that's trying to get a meal, that when you get the herd that surrounds the vulnerables, it's very difficult to get anybody to hurt the vulnerables. So you have literally a blanket of protection over society, which we metaphorically refer to as herd immunity. We know for sure with measles, because we have decades of experience with measles, that measles is so highly transmissible, the most transmissible virus you can imagine, that you need an extremely high percentage of the population to be vaccinated, over 90%. The reason we know that is we have experience as recently as a couple of years ago, where certain communities got the level of vaccination in the community below a certain level, like in the 80s as opposed to in the 90s. We saw that with the Orthodox Jewish population in New York City that went below a certain level. And there were clear outbreaks that essentially overrode herd immunity. Given the fact that this virus is not quite as transmissible as measles, and the vaccine is very good, 94%, 95%, but not quite as good as measles vaccine, which is 98%, that you can do a guesstimate, and it's purely an estimate. No one knows yet what the level is. I would imagine it's somewhere between 70 and 85%. So in direct answer to your question, if we can get 85% of our population vaccinated and get really good herd immunity, the level of protection in the population would be so good that the level of virus would not be a threat. When we get there, which I think we can, I think then we could really pull back on some of the public health constraints we have, like mask wearing, not being able to have indoor dining in a restaurant, not being able to go to a theater or a movie. I think that will loosen up greatly when we reach that level of protection.
He also gave suggestions on what we can do to protect ourselves as the virus mutates.
SARS coronavirus 2, Governor, is an RNA virus, which means it very readily mutates. It mutates when you put pressure on it, either immunological pressure when it infects someone or therapeutic pressure when you try to treat it. But they continually mutate. Most of the mutations don't have any functional relevance. They don't change the function of the virus. They don't make it more infectious. They don't make it more virulent. And it has very little to do with protection of the vaccine. But every once in a while, a combination of mutations occur that create what's called a variant or a new lineage, which does have functional consequences. We're dealing with a few of them now. Two examples. You mentioned them. Let me give you some details about it because it's important for people to understand. There's a lineage, and it comes by strange letters and names, like B117 is the lineage that is dominant now in the UK. Mm-hmm. It has been shown by the Brits to be more easily transmissible. And although there's some conflict about this, there is some suggestion that it's more virulent. Namely, it makes you sicker and leads to serious consequences more than the wild-type virus. That mutant, that variant, is now in multiple states in the United States and has been documented in several hundred people. The modelers who study viral dynamics give an indication that by the time we get to the end of March, that variant will be dominant in the United States. So what do we do about that? Fortunately, the vaccine that we now have, the two vaccines, the Moderna and the Pfizer, are really quite adequate in preventing that infection. So the vaccine works well against the infection. So it's kind of a race to get as many people vaccinated as quickly as possible, as well as doubling down on public health measures to prevent the potential dominance of this more threatening variant, threatening because it transmits more quickly. Now, there's another variant that's more problematic, and that's the one in South Africa. That's called B351. Now, B351 is totally dominating in South Africa. And one of the issues is that it does elude some of the monoclonal antibodies that we use for treatment, and the vaccine-induced antibodies are not quite as protective against this variant as against the wild type. It doesn't obviate protection at all. You still get protection, for sure, but it isn't as good. The thing that is the somewhat comforting news is that the vaccines do protect against severe disease like hospitalization and deaths. So it is much more challenging. So what we're doing about it is we're already starting to make upgraded versions of the vaccine so that in case, and I say in case because we may not necessarily have to do this, in case that South African variant does become more dominant in the United States, we'll be able to give people a booster shot with a vaccine that is directed specifically against the South African strain. But we don't have to do that yet because it isn't dominant here.
Dr. Fauci explained the difference between vaccines and therapy in battling the virus.
The idea of therapy as opposed to just a vaccine to prevent, you're absolutely correct. We have a long way to go. We've developed spectacular drugs for HIV that have changed and transformed the lives of HIV-infected individuals. We've cured hepatitis C with direct-acting agents. It's going to take a little bit of time, but with the proper attention and investment, we could get, I'm sure, I'm almost guaranteeing it, that we could get really good drugs for SARS-CoV-2, for sure. With regard to building up immunity, you know, there really isn't, even though there's a lot of these herbs and other things that people take, that's more placebo than anything else. The best way to get your immune system good is to literally do things that seem simplistic. Do exercise, good diet, plenty of sleep.
People of color are impacted disproportionately by the virus, he says.
They have a much greater incidence and prevalence of the underlying comorbidities, which clearly are associated with a greater degree of hospitalization and a greater degree of death. And that is the things we know that brown and black people have much more than the general population. Diabetes, hypertension, chronic lung disease, liver disease, kidney disease, obesity, all of those things make for the fact that when a brown or black person gets infected, the chances of their getting serious disease or dying is substantially greater than the general population and certainly than white people.
That's Dr. Anthony Fauci this weekend on New Beginnings.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to New Beginnings. And before we talk about the tax filing season, I want to give you some information about being aware of entering into debt refinance. If you have multiple streams of debt, such as high-interest credit cards, medical bills, or personal loans, debt consolidation can combine them into one fixed monthly payment. Getting a debt consolidation loan or using a balance transfer credit card can make sense if it lowers your annual percentage rate. But be aware that refinancing debt has some cons, even at a lower rate. Number one, you may not qualify for a low rate. Balance transfer cards can be hard to qualify for and typically require good to excellent credit that would be 690 or higher on the FICO scale. Debt consolidation loans are more accessible, and there are loans tailored for bad credit applicants, 629 or lower on the FICO scale, but borrowers with the highest credit scores usually receive the lowest rate. Unless the lender can offer you a lower rate than your current debts, debt consolidation usually is not a good idea. In this case, consider another debt payoff strategy like the debt avalanche or debt snowball methods. Borrowers looking to consolidate with a loan can pre-qualify with some lenders to see potential rates without affecting your credit score. Number two, you could fall behind on payments. Missing payments toward the new debt means that you could end up in a worse position than when you started. For example, if you fail to pay off your balance transfer card within the zero interest promotional period, you'll be stuck paying it at a higher APR, potentially higher than the original debt. And also, if you fall behind on a consolidation loan, you could rack up late fees and the missed payments would be reported to the credit bureaus, jeopardizing your credit scores. Before consolidating, make sure the new monthly payment fits comfortably in your budget for the entirety of the repayment period. And finally, you've not addressed the root problem. Though consolidation is a helpful tool, it isn't a sure fix for recurring debt and does not address the behaviors that led to bad debt in the first place. If you struggle with overspending, consolidation could be a risky choice. By taking out a loan to pay off credit cards, for example, those cards will have a zero balance again. You might be tempted to use them before the new debt is paid off, digging you into an even bigger hole. If you have too much debt, you may be better off consulting a credit counselor at a reputable nonprofit who can help set up a debt management plan versus trying to tackle it on your own. Talking about your money this weekend on New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit FreddieBell.com/New Beginnings. Check out the new New Beginnings podcast today.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining New Beginnings. Tax season is approaching, and we want to give you some information to get you better prepared this year for the tax filing season. The pandemic has made everything a bit trickier. Tax filing season is no exception. The whole process started a bit later this year, and there are a few wrinkles to be aware of for those who received unemployment benefits, work from home, took on gig work, were a victim of fraud, or face other issues common to 2020. Just the other day, the IRS began accepting tax returns. Here's what you should know before you file. Number one, unemployment. Unemployment benefits are taxable income, which may surprise some filers. Workers are not required to have federal taxes withheld from their benefit payments, though. While they are given the option to have it withheld, few opt to. Additionally, unemployment benefits are always subject to federal taxes, but a handful of states do not tax it. Relief checks. The two rounds of economic impact payments sent to millions of Americans are not taxable income, but people who did not get their payments or received less than they were due can get the proper amount by claiming the recovery rebate credit on their 2020 taxes. As a reminder, the first round of payments were worth up to $1,200 per eligible adult and $500 per dependent. The second was worth up to $600 for each eligible household member. Those who received a larger economic impact payment than they were due will not be penalized. It's also worth noting that while no one has to pay tax on this income at the federal level, some states are taxing it. Home office work. Working from home became the norm for many in 2020, but few will be able to claim their expense for their new home office setup. That's because a home office deduction can only be taken by businesses or the self-employed. Employees can no longer claim an unreimbursed expense following the last tax overhaul. To properly claim a home office, it must be used exclusively and regularly as the principal place of business. That, according to Lisa Green Lewis, she's a CPA and tax expert at TurboTax. That means the table where your kids do their homework, your family eats dinner, and you do your work do not count. Here's a side note. It won't affect your federal taxes, but if you relocated to a different state during the pandemic, you may owe state taxes in more than one location. Let's look at tax credits. Congress put a temporary look-back provision in place for this tax season that could help many low- and moderate-income households. The provision allows taxpayers to use either their 2019 or 2020 income when claiming the Earned Income Tax Credit or Child Tax Credit. The eligibility and size of these credits vary based on household size and income. In general, the less earned, the larger the credit. However, rampant unemployment puts some families at risk of missing out or getting a smaller credit, as unemployment is not considered earned income in the eyes of the IRS. In response, lawmakers are allowing taxpayers to pick which year's income would yield the greatest benefit. Investing. A number of people jumped into the stock market for the very first time in 2020, but tax experts warn that these investing newbies may not be fully aware of their tax obligation. The most important thing to understand is that you pay only taxes on investments when you realize their gains. But if you bought a stock in 2020, for example, and its value went up, you won't pay taxes on those gains until you sell. And if it sank in value, the same rules of realizing applies. It hurts to have a loss, but you can use those to offset your gains up to a limit. And let's talk about fraud. Taxpayers may face a new challenge this year due to rampant unemployment fraud. While millions of people sought legitimate unemployment benefit claims during 2020, scammers seized on the opportunity to commit identity fraud and make fake unemployment claims. California alone paid out $10.4 billion in fraudulent claims, according to a recent audit. The IRS says taxpayers who received forms 1099-G for unemployment benefits they did not receive need to contact their state for a corrected form showing they did not receive those benefits. Taxpayers who can't get a timely corrected form from states should still file an accurate tax return, reporting only the income they actually received. And gig work. If you jumped into gig work like many did during 2020, be ready at tax time. A big shock may be facing the self-employment tax rate, which for 2020 is 15.3% on the first $137,700 of net income to cover Social Security and Medicare tax. This is not the same as income tax. And one way to offset this strain is to make sure to claim all of your expenses, that according to Green Lewis. This includes supplies, advertising or market startup costs, or any equipment or dedicated home office. Now, finally, if you are driving for a ride-sharing service or a delivery company, make sure to claim all the mileage you are eligible for. Consider smaller items, too, such as supplies for the car or car washing, which are eligible expenses. You're listening to New Beginnings. We're talking about your money this week, and our program continues right now.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Good morning. Happy weekend, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and now we turn our attention to West Metro Hypnosis, where we have the opportunity to talk with his esteemed founder, Kelly Von Heidekamp. She's at westmetrohypnosis.com online and by the plain old telephone system, 952-222-3975. Good morning, Kelly, and it's time for a mindful reset.
It is time for a mindful reset, Freddie. So I invite you and I invite all of our listeners and even myself to take a moment. If it's safe for you to do so, you can close your eyes. If you need to keep your eyes on the road, go ahead and do so. But just know that you can take this time, these next few minutes, to just drop into your body, to breathe. Perhaps you've noticed that your mind was drifting off to some place in the past, that which no longer exists. Or maybe your mind was jumped ahead 10 minutes from now, 2 days from now, maybe even years from now, entertaining all of the possible what ifs that life can come up with. But what is real? What is present is right in front of you. This moment, the tangible things that you find within the space you occupy right now, the feeling of your heartbeat rhythmically pulsating, holding the beat of your body, the ground beneath your feet, the air filling up within your lungs on an inhale and expelling out on an exhale, that which you thought moments ago is no longer. So if it was not benefiting you, let it be. And move on. This moment right now, this opportunity offers you a clean slate. The past is done. And the door of opportunity is wide open with this next breath. What will you do with it? What thought will you think? What question will you ask? What emotion will you feel? What action will you take? Will you move forth from a place of love or from a place of fear? Do you feel the power of choice, the power of opportunity, the power of possibility? It's there, and it's waiting for you. So take a breath and lean into that and boldly move forward now. Thanks for being here.
And thank you, Kelly. Of westmetrohypnosis.com, 952-222-3975. And you're listening to New Beginnings.
Are you tired of the extra weight? Are you fed up with smoking? Is fear running your life? Do you feel stuck? Well, keep listening. I'm Kelly from West Metro Hypnosis, and I help people like you get unstuck and coach you to success. Hypnosis is a safe, quick, effective way to create the results you desire. Change is possible, but it requires you to take action. And now is the perfect time. Call 952-222-3975. Give yourself the health, happiness, and success you deserve. Call 952-222-3975 or visit westmetrohypnosis.com. Hypnosis feels really good and is very effective in getting results. Remember, 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis, empowering you to master your life.
As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Every year, millions of people call on Silent Unity for prayer support. So it has provided a rich opportunity for research into the benefits of prayer. In addition to physical benefits to the body, prayer can support peace of mind and heart. Our soul life or inner life can experience the release of anxiety and the empowerment of hope and inspiration. Third, our spirit, that which we consider to be our essential self, our higher truth, the very core of our existence, is also benefited by prayer that focuses on our connection with the infinite, the everlasting, the all possibility of life, existence itself. Paul described it for the people of Athens as he spoke, "God, in which we live and move and have our very being." In other words, we are linked to the very source of our life, our existence, and therefore there is an eternal state to our existence. Prayer focuses our awareness on our eternal nature, ourself. When we pray for others, several results are possible. Prayer can free our mind from any limited thoughts we have held for others. Our daily word today and the scriptural account of the raising of Lazarus is a great example of that idea. To loose and let go, to free our own minds from any limited idea we have held about another, a group of people, a community, a nation, to set our own mind free from any limit that we have held others in. Prayer also expands our appreciation for the other. It increases our love for the other. Suddenly we see them in their truth, in their greater reality. And whatever challenge they may be seeing and experiencing in their life, we can catch a higher vision of what is possible in their life, the healing and the opportunities that are unfolding for them. Prayer establishes the other in unlimited potential. We behold all that is possible for them. We see them in a greater, more expansive way. What a tremendous gift to pray with someone, to see them in their higher truth, rather than to hold ideas about them that keep them down, so to speak, in our own mind. Prayer is like any human activity. It is an expression or a manifestation of our very design. In the physical human being, we can see the neural network, the connections of neurons that create communication within our brain and our nervous system. Prayer can be seen as a similar connection of thoughts concerning ourselves, others, and the world. Prayer builds a pattern of ideas, a pattern of potential, in other words. Remember our theme song, "Our Thoughts Are Prayers." Listen to what you're saying about yourself, others, or the world. Now give me a little latitude here. I'm going to go into a deep thought. In some esoteric spiritual teachings, this pattern of thought, this network of ideas we hold, are considered to be the pathway by which spiritual forces can unfold and heal and uplift the person or the circumstance held in prayer. This is understood in many ways, but just one example that some consider is that the archangel Michael is said to work for us only within our thoughts and actions. Only within our thoughts and actions. This angelic force can only work through the deeds and actions that we take. Therefore, we create the opening for spiritual help by the conscious thoughts we consistently hold. In our prayers, we create a pathway of possibility that spiritual powers can flow to aid our prayer focus. This is just an indication of the spiritual activity within the prayer process. Now let me stop the descriptions and let us enter into a time of prayer experience. Now it's not necessary to be a prayer expert. It is only necessary to be willing to stop our outer actions, calm our body and soul, and recognize our very existence in life itself in what we call God, the omnipotent good. There are many methods we can use, but let's just start with Unity's 5-step method of prayer. I'll give the process an outline, but of course you have to inwardly experience the process. You can choose to focus on your highest good or the perfect potential for the individual or the circumstance you are praying with. So I'll simply outline these 5 steps. If you choose, you may close your eyes, but begin with the first step, relaxation. To gently center your attention in your rhythmic breathing and your heartbeat. To become one with that rhythm that sustains you, moment by moment, day by day, year by year. Step 2, concentration. Focus your thought and feeling on a life principle, such as, I am a part of the ever-evolving, everlasting life process. Or I envision the highest possibility for the one I hold in prayer. This individual or circumstance will move in their perfect way in the direction of their highest good.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.